people in town hope. It gives them something outside of the norm. Something special that nobody else can recreate for them.
Without CrossFit Rangers, our community wouldn't be as strong as they are.
That constant striving for being the best will never stop. Wasn't it great to stick the two fingers up and say, regardless what you do, you can land your helicopters here, you can build your barracks on top of us, f*** yous, we're going to win it all there now.
The country's watching us today. That should fill your heart full of joy, boys. Because we're the best around, boys, and that's what we're going to show today.
The way the proven lies in the first 10 minutes, we're going to hit this ground hard.
There's two teams of teams in the world, though, now, mate. An honest team!
That's what Cross McGlen football means up in that part of the world. They secured a 45th Armagh Senior football title this past weekend with a victory over Ballymacnab, and securing his 16th title, making him Cross McGlen's very own Ric Flair. He joins us on the line now. It is Aaron Kernan. Aaron, you're very welcome back to the show.
Richie, good to chat to you.
How does it feel to be in that upper echelons, the Ric Flair kind of levels of winning 16 titles?
Yeah, it's been great. We've enjoyed this past few days, and
your voice kind of tells the tale a little bit.
I've often felt better, but we're heading out to training now at 7:30, so I'd say it'll not be too long until we're back to normal.
Good stuff. Give us a sense of that game against Ballymacnab. By all accounts, you weren't really at it in the first half. There seems to have been a mighty kick up the ass and at half time, and came roaring back out in that second half and put them away by 9 points.
Yeah, Ballymacnab were very good, so I don't want to take away anything from them, but we were just particularly flat. I'm not sure the reason for it. We just seemed a bit leggy, and you know, just didn't seem up to the pace of what you would require for a county final. But in fairness to management, there was harsh words at half time, but also there was changes made, you know, in terms of a few tactical switches and that there, and I suppose a bit of both turned the whole game. We went 5 points down with 10 minutes gone in the second half, and we reeled off 1-9 without replay after that. So for the boys to be able to not panic and turn things around themselves on the field, that was particularly pleasing.
We have Desi Hutchinson on the show this evening. He's a hurler now for Ballygunner. He's previously obviously played for Brighton in terms of soccer, and for Waterford's senior football team as well. He mentioned about the six in a row for Ballygunner, about how there's absolutely no issue about trying to get up for the next one. You know, there's no issue about for them going from 5 to 6. For a club as storied and as successful as Cross McGlen, like, we heard that piece from Mushy and just in the montage there about the constant striving to be the best, that doesn't seem to be an issue within the club whatsoever.
Yeah, it's absolutely massive for us, because, well, I suppose even as we were growing up, or as I was joining the panel, you're just used to seeing the boys in the county final every year. So in terms of the expectancy within the town, it always is huge. But you know, people might think that you win so many county titles that it sort of becomes less important, but that's definitely not the case. Winning our county title is very special, because you can't progress any further without it. It's the first step in the ladder if you're trying to go and reach greater heights. So I think that they're just to sort of drill in the boys as you join our squad, is the importance of becoming county champions and winning your own medal. And I think that again was one of the most enjoyable parts of the weekend, is that we've an awful lot of boys who are sort of early 20s, and I sort of got, last year we won, but this year I sort of felt, no, this is their team, it's their time. They're the ones who turned the game and showed the leadership and the quality that was needed to win it. So it's brilliant for them now that a lot of them all have 2 medals now, and they're well settled in, and they're fully confident in themselves as senior players within the club, and that's massive.
And last year's experience would have stood to you as well, and what happened with that semi-final with Guidoor.
It definitely did. It was actually quite similar to the other day, where we were sort of off the pace and conceded two slack enough goals. But yeah, I think we definitely have learned from that last year in terms of even tactically. I think we have learned, but just the players themselves in terms of not panicking and just trying to get up the field and get the next score, get ourselves settled and back into the game. And that definitely happened. He said 5 points down. And not playing well, but it was sort of it was a slack goal that we gave away, but it boys didn't drop their heads at all, and that is definitely something that I suppose it just does take time for boys to get used to senior football and to have that self-belief whenever it matters most, and that was another good aspect of the weekend.
And having a fully fit again and flying Oisín O'Neill doesn't hurt either.
No, it doesn't. Oisín actually did ankle ligaments in the county semi-final last year, and to be fair to him, he struggled through just getting it taped up and trying to manage himself, and then he had an operation early in the new year to get it rectified, and he missed the whole season with Armagh, but the effort and the condition he has got himself into all summer it's amazing. But I think it's reflective in his performances for us. He's been outstanding since he's come back, really taking on a leadership role within the squad, both himself and Rian, and there's another young lad, Caelum Comiskey, who was centre half back at the weekend and kicked 2 points and has now been called up to the county squad. So yeah, definitely there's a big future for them, not only in Crossmaglen but obviously with Armagh also.
Yeah, given the way Crossmaglen's obviously fed the county setup over the course of the last, you know, two decades or more, like there's a lot to be pretty hopeful about from an Armagh football perspective.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of good talented youngsters coming through in the county. I suppose Rian and Charlotte O'Burns got the most of the headlines this year, but no, there is. There's a good spread of footballers throughout the county, and you know, I think we've seen another year of improvement within the squad. And I would say so the Ulster Championship draw hasn't been too kind to us next year in terms of your pathway to an Ulster final, but definitely. I think we're a county on an upward curve, and it's exciting for all those young fellas that are starting out on county journeys and I suppose trying to make a county career in their own right. It's brilliant for them.
I'll come back to the county stuff with you in a moment, but I just want to concentrate first on what's next for Crossmaglen. It's Clontibret, the Monaghan champions, in the quarterfinals, but you're very familiar with the manager, to say the least.
Yeah, it was ironic, the clip that he's had on there beforehand, that was a lot of the talking was Oisín and John McAtee, yeah. So John's over Clontibret. I sent him a text on Saturday night just to wish him well, and said, sure, whatever happens, you know, if we cross paths, so be it. It'll probably be the only person to be really difficult and will be him, because he is a massive club man and he's a massive figurehead within our community. But it is what it is. We have an opposition manager with plenty of inside knowledge, but we're still going to just have to go out and play to the best of our ability, try and put out a big performance. And once we do that, like, we'll always be confident that we're fit to compete with any team. So I don't think it's something that we'll get too bogged down on. Like I say, it'll just be maybe a difficult afternoon for John himself.
It's probably something that we'd concentrate on, the likes of us would concentrate on more than yourselves. I mean, you're just playing the game that's in front of you, the 15 players that you're probably, you know, slightly familiar with, but not too familiar with, and the manager's kind of a side issue as soon as you cross that white line.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it was a bit even like us at the weekend in terms of those switches made and tactical changes at half time, and manager can give you as much advice as possible, but really once you step onto the field, their hands are basically tied. It's up to the boys to deliver, and in terms of our own preparation, like, literally club football now is, it's operating nearly at what county level is in terms of your analysis and your video work and your stats feedback and that there. So you get everything as players, but yeah, ultimately it's just down to us to go out and execute it and maximise the quality we have within our team. So we'll obviously be looking to do that again. I think we're starting to build a bit of momentum. The way the Armagh Championship works, it's really good, because it's your whole league is over before it starts, so you're playing every fortnight, you know, which it gives you time to work on things, and mistakes that were made, you can iron them out the following week, and you're not sitting waiting too long. You know, it runs off very smoothly and very quickly, and I think it leads to helping build a bit of momentum as you head into provincial stages.
It's a very all-encompassing kind of life, the club player's life now at this stage, and I don't think there's much, I don't know, if people kind of cop onto how much is involved in being a club player, people kind of think it might be an easier journey or than, you know, playing inter-county or whatever, but as you mentioned there's a hell of a lot goes into it. Desi, we had on the show as well earlier on, he mentioned it too, like there's so much goes into that upper level of the club game, it almost beggars belief.
It is, but I have to say, in fairness, I think an awful lot of it comes from the players now, that we're sort of demanding it as well. And I know you might think it is an awful lot in that there, but players are just saying we're all, I suppose, that bit wiser and a bit more knowledgeable in terms of, you know, the advantages that you can get or extra percentages you can get. And players as much as management demand that nowadays, in terms of whether it's your physios or your doctors attending your training, right through to whatever the stats and S&C. It's definitely very much the norm. I would say even at club level now, I'm doing the same as what I would have done while I was playing at the county football. But like I said, definitely an awful lot of that comes from the players themselves trying to maximise everything that they can in order to be successful.
With that in mind, do you think there's enough of an appreciation with those who move around the chess pieces at inter-county level of the efforts and all that kind of stuff that the club player is putting in at the moment? Because there seems to be still a massive disconnect.
Yeah, I suppose there is, but you're probably always going to have that there, because the county game is really your shop window. But I have to say, year on year, the publicity and the hype that is going with the club games, and the fact that your junior, your intermediate and your senior teams all have the opportunity to go on and win provincial and All-Ireland honours. You have all-stars now that have been out this past 2 years for your club players. So all of that there, I suppose, it adds to the sacrifices that players are willing to make at club level. They're starting to get rewarded a bit more for it, and I think every little bit helps in terms of the players getting a bit of payback in relation to that.
Yeah. What was your view on what went down at Páirc Uí Chaoimh there this past weekend in terms of that special congress and the introduction specifically of that second tier championship?
To be honest with you, I would be in favour of it. I think that there is just a massive gulf between the top and the rest. And I can understand if I was playing county football still and I was in Division 3 or 4, did you feel you were being cast aside a bit? But I do feel everyone is getting an opportunity to go and win something and be successful during the summer. Like, the leagues are so competitive and they mean an awful lot to those teams, winning a Division 3 or a Division 4 league title. You know, they are still getting a shot to win Sam Maguire. They just have to win a provincial and go on to an All-Ireland series. So if that doesn't work out, they're going to go into a very competitive championship within its own right, and they've opportunities to win trophies, and I think it might take a wee bit of time to change maybe mindsets or to get the players to buy into it. But I think if the GAA are serious and do give it the regard that it does deserve, then I think it can be successful.
The worry about it is that it is viewed mainly as a consolation prize for those who do drop out of the provincial championships early.
Yeah, and that is the case, but what else have they got now at this stage? Like, you know, once they're beat in the qualifiers, their season's over, or they're playing in qualifiers where the only trophy that they can get is Sam Maguire, and the likelihood of a Division 3 or 4 team winning that obviously isn't great. Now, like I say, if you do get the buy-in from the players and from the powers to be at Croke Park, and it is marketed properly and it's given, like I said, showpiece events, and not just disregarded and put on at times whenever, you know, it's not popular, then yeah, obviously it won't be a success then. But I think if it is treated right by those counties and they use it as a stepping stone to, I suppose, build a bit of momentum, build a bit of excitement within their counties, you know, I think it will help in terms of how they can close the gap to the top teams.
Can I ask you a bit of an abstract kind of nebulous question as well, Aaron, at the minute? Like, clearly we can't ignore an Ulster sports person and what might be going on in the political sphere at the minute, because I don't know what your views are on Brexit and how the North has been treated in the last while as a sports person, how that might affect you over the course of the next while, or how it might affect your teammates, because it seems to be a bit of an elephant in the room that nobody necessarily knows what's actually going to happen on that front within the next, well, we're supposed to be the next week or two.
Yeah, well, I suppose just the biggest issue, the biggest worry we had, and particularly where we're based here in Cross MacLean, was a hard border, because say my own wife works in the hospital in Drogheda, so she's obviously crossing the border a couple of times a day. I have children who even go to creche just across the border here as well, so even just small stuff like that there would have massive knock-on effects and repercussions for ourselves here. And I'm not that old, but like I remember, you know, whenever you had your watchtowers and your army bases on all your roads leading from north to south, and the hostility and that there was. So that was a huge worry. Obviously, those fears look like they're more or less on the back burner now at this stage. But the whole thing is just, it's a complete mess. And like I say, the fact that it's supposed to be over in another week or 10 days and people still having a clue really what is going to happen, it is messy. But in terms of our day-to-day living around here and the effects it might have had in terms of football, the only real issue we probably would have had would have just been the hard border and the closing of roads or checkpoints as you cross the border. But like I said, thankfully we look like we're way past that there now, and it's still going to be another messy week or 10 days till we see what actually does happen. I was always of the opinion nearly that there'd just end up being another referendum and that would be the end of it, but it looks like they're still keen and pushing through it.
Did you feel somewhat overlooked or neglected over in that part of the world by what's going on over there?
Not really, to be honest with you. We're probably just sick of it at this stage, you know, in terms of every news bulletin and every newspaper you open up, and you have done for the guts of two or three years there. It has sort of been the headline news, not really. You've plenty of political figures who have been standing up and offering their own take on it, but I say what will be will be. It'll be a hell in 10 days' time, I'd say.
You've Clontibret to focus on before then anyway, so that's the most important thing. Before we let you go, Charlotte Burns has obviously put himself forward, or he's been nominated, in fact, for president of the GEA. You'd view that potentially as a good appointment, your own county man?
Yeah, we know Jarlett well. Obviously, he's from a neighbouring club here in Silverbridge. Very heavily involved within his own club. Obviously, he was a Ulster Championship winning captain for them and a huge figure within their club. Has taken on their chairman role, currently their secretary. He ticks all the boxes as far as I would be concerned in terms of someone who's really hands-on within the association and within the grassroots. It would be huge to have a fellow county man as the head of our organisation. He'd obviously be a very, very good candidate for the job.
Someone who seems like it would bring a bit of fresh thinking to the role as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's so hands-on, he's well aware of, I suppose, the trials and tribulations you have with the club game. He has a son who's playing county football as well. He's a son who's at college. In terms of all the aspects that maybe can be worked on, can be improved within our games, he'd have a good hands-on knowledge of exactly what is happening within all aspects. I definitely think he's not the sort of fellow who would be afraid to make big calls if he felt they were needed for the betterment of the association, that's for sure.
Yeah, Aaron, listen, your voice recovered remarkably well during the course of this conversation, so congratulations on that front, and congratulations and continued success to Cross MacLean as well against Clontibert in a couple of weeks' time.
Thank you very much, Richie.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.